Let's turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 30, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23, question and answers 59 through 61, page 30. Question 59 asks this. Now, just a reminder of where we are. We've just finished the Articles of the Christian Faith, summarized in the Apostles' Creed. So this question comes, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this? In Christ, I am right with God and heir to life everlasting. How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and of never having kept any of them, and even though I am still inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned, nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. Why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God? It is not because of any value my faith has that God is pleased with me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Let us take our Bibles and turn in them to the New Testament. First to Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. It's found on page 1198, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Romans 5, beginning at verse 1. People of God, hear now the very words of God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let us turn over a few pages to Romans 7, verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And let us turn over to 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 10. It's found on page 1304. 1 John 5, 10 through 12. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. As far as the reading, the Word of God. Congregation, a few years ago, politically speaking, it seemed that many thought hope was America's savior. But since that time, many have turned to the faith. Faith, trust in a person who's pledged to never let the people down. Well, these words, hope, faith, we hear them a lot, don't we? We hear those words. They're familiar to our society, but they're often used by many in our society in ways that are different than how God uses them in the Bible. And so we need to be careful that we understand the Bible's teaching about hope, about faith, about these important words. And especially before us this evening is faith. And how we are right with God through faith. Now, during the time of the Reformation, there were five slogans that were often referred to as bringing out the heart of that movement of the Reformation. One of them was sola fide, which is Latin language for faith alone, sola fide. That's what we come to this evening. And with it, I proclaim to you that we receive Christ's righteousness through faith alone, sola fide. First, let's consider the benefit of faith. Now, if you talk to people and you ask, you know, people who say they're people of faith, what the benefit is to faith, you'll probably receive a number of different responses. A doctor might tell you, well, I see that people of faith and people who pray, it helps them heal faster. A mayor, public official might say, well, people of faith, generally, they're better citizens than others. Maybe your neighbor might tell you that his or her faith, well, it really helped them cope with life. We don't mean to put down earthly benefits of faith, but we want to focus on the benefit of faith that the Bible points to. The benefit that is the fundamental reason God commands us to believe in the first place. The reason for faith, the benefit it does to believe in the gospel, to believe these articles of the Christian faith, is that in Christ, you are right with God and heir to life everlasting. So we read in Romans 5, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. Now let us be clear, when we speak of faith, faith as the Bible intends it, we're not simply speaking about belief in general or a hopeful disposition, some generic spirituality. Faith in this sense is not a confidence that you'll recover from a particular sickness. Faith is not positive thinking, and therefore the benefit of faith is not the power of positive thinking. We're speaking of faith in the good news of Jesus Christ, a certain message. As again, Romans 5 verse 1 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the focus. That's what the Bible means when it speaks of faith, of believing. It's believing Jesus, which the articles of the Christian faith summarize the good news of Jesus. So what benefit is there to believing these articles? Benefit is that every believer in Jesus is right with God, is heir to life everlasting. That is the greatest benefit of all. This really matters in this life. But what is it by nature we are looking for? What is it the world is looking for? It's looking for money, it's looking for land, it's looking for fame, it's looking for health, it's looking for pleasure, it's looking for peace in the world, it's looking for inward calm, it's looking for a good family, it's looking for friends, for acceptance, all sorts of things. Depending on the person, they will think something else is what they're really after in this life. Sure, they might think or they might say, it might be good to be right with God, but isn't God already kind to us? I mean, don't we all sing Amazing Grace and have God favorable with us just because? Why do I need this special faith in Jesus that you Christians, you here in this Reformed church, keep talking about, keep pointing to, that this catechism brings out? That sounds narrow. That sounds exclusive. For the true Christian, the one whom God has given new birth, has regenerated, was made alive in Christ, the most important thing is to be right with God. Why is it important? Because by nature we aren't right with God. We're his enemies. He is angry with us because of our sin. Those who are not right with God cannot please him, cannot bring him the glory he deserves, the glory we were created to give. Being right with God is the foundation and starting point of living with God, living the Christian life. And you can be right with God only through true faith. Think of being right with God, congregation. What a blessing it is. It does not matter what the world thinks. Ultimately, it does not matter what happens to you in this life. The most important thing in your life is right. Parents, godly parents, don't we want our children? Pray for them. We want them to get the most important thing right, don't we? Trusting in Jesus, that's the most important thing. Through faith in Christ, you're right with God. Aren't we concerned with good health? Yes, we are, but everyone dies if the Lord tarries. Good health does not last in this life. It feels good to have, that's true, but it's not the greatest benefit to be had. Aren't we all concerned with being happy? Well, yes, in one sense we are, but happiness is not the end all. Jesus himself, he was known as the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We would not say his life was a failure. Happiness is something that pagan philosophers throughout the years, they have thought that's the greatest benefit to have, happiness. However, it's defined. Songs are popular in our culture about being happy. Well, yes, God made humans to be happy. It's certainly not a sin to be happy if you're happy for the right reasons. True happiness, though, cannot be had if someone is an enemy of his or her creator. So what good does it do you to believe the gospel? In Christ I am right with God, heir to life everlasting. There's the benefit. It's greater than any other benefit. Brothers and sisters, hold this to your heart. Let it show forth in your life by making growth in faith, growing in your faith, a priority in your life, a bigger priority than your health, a bigger priority than happiness. There's no greater benefit in this life than the benefit of being right with God, which comes only through faith. As we read in Romans 5, justified by faith. Now this points, as we move to in our second point, to the uniqueness of faith. The uniqueness of faith. Now when the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5 verse 1 that we have been justified by faith, he wrote there about faith. He did not write we were justified by faith and works. That's clear. He did not write we are justified by works. He did not write we're justified by knowledge. He did not write that we are justified by sincerity. He did not write that we are justified by feelings. He didn't write a whole host of things. He wrote simply and only, we are justified by faith. How are you right with God? Not by how much money you put in the collection plate. Not by how many times you go to church. Not by this or that. Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the churches of the Reformation meant when they said sola fide. One is justified only through faith. Faith is the only instrument of justification. That's the uniqueness of faith. Now, there are many other graces in the Christian life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's spiritual gifts of ruling or serving or giving or teaching. Wonderful blessings from God. And we value them. We treasure them. We praise God for them. But all of these other blessings lack what faith alone provides. What God gives only through faith, righteousness. Righteousness credited to us being right with God. Your love does not make you right with God. Your service does not make you right with God. Oh, the world thinks that. The world looks at a Mother Teresa or someone who gives $1 billion to a hospital. So, wow, What a good work. You're giving tithes and offerings. Do not make you right with God. You're coming to corporate worship. Does not make you right with God. You're being a member of this church. Does not make you right with God. You're having a Bible or several Bibles in your home. Does not make you right with God. Now, those are good things. You're being born a human. You're being born in America, in West Michigan. You're being born in a godly family. Does not make you right with God. Even your outward baptism, your baptism with water, does not make you right with God. We could list a whole list of things that are good and are blessings and are expected even from Christians, but not one of them is the instrument through which we are right with God. That instrument, that is faith. It is only faith. Let's be very clear here. Sola fide. Christian faith understands that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Jesus alone. Only Christian faith agrees that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Jesus alone. Only one with true Christian faith entrusts himself, herself, to the only Savior proclaimed in the gospel. Faith is unique in all the Christian graces and blessings, because only faith looks entirely past itself, looks past itself, not to those around us, not even to some creed or confession, but it looks past itself to Christ alone, to his perfect satisfaction, righteousness, holiness. That's where the Apostles' Creed directs us, to Christ, to God in Christ. For Jesus alone perfectly obeyed God's law. He was righteous. That comes out in the Catechism, righteous. Jesus alone is perfectly oriented toward serving God. He's perfectly holy. Jesus alone, by offering up his blessed body to be broken, his precious blood to be shed on Golgotha's cross, Jesus alone has provided the sacrifice that God's justice required to pay the price, the penalty for our sins, to satisfy God's justice that was against us because of sin. Satisfaction, righteousness, holiness, satisfaction in Jesus alone. On the third day, the Son of God rose from the dead. This is your Savior, people of God. Jesus alone. And it's faith alone that looks beyond everything to Christ, focuses on him. To all those who entrust themselves to Jesus, all that Christ has accomplished is considered to be yours. That's God's gospel promise. He doesn't promise good health in this life. He doesn't promise a good marriage in this life. He doesn't promise riches. He doesn't promise many earthly things in this life. In fact, what we are promised is suffering. What he does promise, that to all who believe, you are right with God. Praise God. Sola fide. We think of the different virtues and graces. Love does not look to Jesus alone in this way. Love is action. Here in 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is love. That's in a different context. Sincerity, that does not look to Jesus alone in this way. Sincerity, it's more a condition of our hearts. Feelings, emotions, they do not look to Jesus alone in this way. There's something we experience within ourselves. Faith is unique in that it looks outside oneself to Jesus. What he has done, the condition of his heart, what he experienced in our place for us. Faith does not look inward, but outward. Faith is not introspective, but extrospective. It looks away from ourselves to Jesus. And in this, faith is unique. And God has seen fit to make faith the only instrument by which we are right with God, by which Christ's righteousness is credited to you, believer. So that God says, you are righteous. I declare you righteous for the sake of Christ. That even though you and I have sinned, we've never kept any of God's commandments. We've grievously sinned. Even though you and I are still inclined toward all evil, without our deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to you, believer, the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if you had never sinned, as if you'd never been a sinner, as if you had perfectly obeyed as Christ obeyed for you. That's the uniqueness of faith. Because of the benefit of faith and its uniqueness, God wants the church to focus on it. And Lord willing, in coming weeks, we'll bring that out. How this doctrine of sola fide, how it drives so much of what we do as a church. Why we focus on the preaching of the gospel. But also because of the uniqueness of faith, the benefit, the devil attacks it. The world, the flesh, the devil, they fight tirelessly, ceaselessly against it. And that's what we move to in our third point, the challenge to faith, the challenge to faith. The world, the flesh, the devil, they war against the faith and against your personal faith. For if they can overthrow faith, they're succeeding in their fight against God's people. And there are many ways that faith is challenged. It can be false doctrine. It can be a denial of the Bible's teaching, of the Bible itself. We'll focus just on one type of challenge. That's what we read from in Romans 7. The challenge of our sin, of our sinful nature. Now again, faith is focused on Jesus and his righteousness, that Jesus lived for me. He died for me. He paid the penalty for my sin in my place. He rose again from the dead for me, as answer 59 says, in Christ I am right with God and heir to life everlasting. Faith looks away from ourselves to Christ. But we, you and I, we continue to sin every day. Children, even the holiest, if you know of someone in your family or someone in this congregation, you think, wow, she, he, I really want to grow up to be like that person. They're very spiritual, or very holy in a good way. Even the holiest among us has a small beginning, that obedience. Our conscience, our own conscience, accuses us, rightly accuses us, of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, of never having kept any of them. We know we sin. Even after God has made us alive in Christ, through the working of the Spirit, we still sin. And we know it. We don't know all of it, but we know we do. God's law makes that clear to us. And you know what? We know also that we're still inclined towards sin. Even though we've been made new in Christ, that old man clings to us. And young people, as you progress in the faith, you'll find out more and more just how much sin there is. Our reading in Romans 7 makes this clear. The Apostle Paul wrote, when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Wretched man that I am. That's the Apostle Paul writing, inspired by the Spirit. But he was a converted man, a very holy man, as we would think holiness to be. He calls himself a wretch because of his sin. He does not think he is wretched because of poor health. He doesn't think he's wretched because he doesn't have retirement saved up, his finances aren't in order, his family is in shambles, or he's in an earthly trial. He calls himself a wretch because of his sin. You see the focus? That's entirely different than the world around us. We need to hear this message again and again. But not only this message. You see, faith looks outside of ourselves to Christ and his righteousness. Because you and I, in ourselves, we have sin. Your mind knows it. Your conscience declares it. Our heart grieves over it. In this life, the believer cannot escape from the realization, I'm a sinner. We're talking here about the believer, not the unbeliever. The unbeliever, although steeped in sin, doing nothing good, really has no realization of sin. Not like the believer. That's a big difference between the unbeliever and the believer. The believer really doesn't care about sin. Oh, he or she, they don't want to be caught in sin, exposed, shamed. But they don't really care about sin itself in relation to their relationship to God. It's the believer. Like the apostle wrote in Romans 7, the believer struggles. And that's a challenge in our faith, to our faith. But faith looks outside. We, in our experience, our thinking, our feeling, ourselves, we're surrounded with us, our situation. And that situation is one of continuing to sin and inclined toward all sin. There's the challenge to faith. It's perhaps the greatest challenge. It's a greater challenge often than the earthly trials we face. Trials like poverty or sickness, sorrow, even death. Those trials, they can be severe. They might tempt someone to doubt God's love for them because of what's happening in life. Sometimes faith is challenged by earthly suffering, but a greater challenge is our own sin. Because we know God's word, and we know without a doubt, with no question, that God is angry with the wicked. We know that. We know he's angry with sinners. Now, while in the midst of a trial, there might be some feeling and thought, well, is God angry with me? Is this trial coming because of my sin, because of something? Is God angry? But there is no doubt God is angry with sinners. And I still sin. How can I be right with God when I still sin? Wouldn't there be some huge change within me? How can I be an heir to life everlasting when I still sin and God punishes sin with death? How can this be? There's a challenge there. It's a great challenge. Now, if someone's living in sin, well, they ought to be questioning themselves. Because living in sin, that shows someone's not right with God. Young people, young adults, living a sinful lifestyle, you will not enjoy peace with God. Don't be deceived. It's not where happiness is. You might deaden, you might distract yourself from that discomfort, but don't fool yourself. It's an embracing sin. That's a sign someone is not right with God. For the one who hates their sin, who has turned to Christ for righteousness, is trusting him, such a one must take comfort, though, in the gospel. The gospel is the cure for faith that is challenged and for challenges to our faith. For God promises in the gospel that Christ died for sinners. He died for you, believing sinner. He died for you. And in Christ, you believer, you are right with God. You don't feel righteousness. You don't escape the struggle against the sinful nature. By faith, rest in Christ. If someone thinks they are beyond sin, if someone feels their righteousness, that doesn't arise from God. It's a delusion of their own sinful heart. Now, that doesn't mean we're always, again, focused on self and beating ourselves up. No, faith looks outside of ourselves. We look to Christ alone, and we can recognize God's work of grace in our hearts and lives. But always we rest in God's gospel promise. In Christ, I am right with God, an heir to life everlasting. Sola fide. That's how sin's challenge to faith is to be met. Keep focused on Jesus, not yourself. All this brings out how important faith is. Its uniqueness, its benefit, its importance, the challenge with it. But there's also something about faith. It's so important, and yet there's an inability of faith. And that's what we move to in our fourth point, the inability of faith. Now, we do not say that we are right with God by faith alone because of any value our faith has. Any value in faith that causes God to be pleased with our faith. There's no value in faith in that regard. Faith is not another type of good work that we can present to God in place of obedience to his law. Faith itself is unable to save. Now, faith differs from the other Christian graces and blessings, not only in its uniqueness as the only instrument by where we are right with God, but also in its uniqueness that faith, considering faith directly, it does nothing. Faith is not love for God. Faith is not love for neighbor. Faith does not do anything to God or neighbor or self. Faith does not fulfill the law. Faith simply receives. In the act of being right with God, faith is strictly passive. It has no strength, no ability. Some might say, perhaps, well, didn't Christ say that if we had faith as small as a mustard seed, we could say to a mountain, be moved into the sea, and it would? Isn't that strong? Did not Christ tell the sick that according to their faith they would be healed? Isn't there healing power in faith? Did not Christ commend the Syrophoenician woman for her great faith, which led to his healing her daughter of the demon? Did we not read? Does it not say, your faith has made you well? How can you say faith is unable to do anything? Isn't Scripture filled with the power of faith? No. Scripture is not filled with the power of faith focused on faith. You will not find anywhere in the Bible where faith is the power of healing, of exorcism, of moving mountains. Faith has no value or power that makes God pleased with us. God does not substitute faith for obedience to his law. God does not substitute faith for reality. You won't find that in the Bible. And so we confess in answer 61, it is not because of any value my faith has that God is pleased with me. The power or ability is not in faith. The power is in God. That's what the Bible is filled with. God's power, not man's power. God's power in Christ, not the power of your faith. Congregation, beware of someone who claims some power or virtue in faith itself. Name it and claim it, they say. Speak the word of faith and have it. It's simply another way of looking to man rather than looking to God and Christ. Faith looks outside of ourselves. It looks away even from faith itself. It looks to God in Christ. It looks to God in Christ. That leads us to our fifth point, the power behind faith. The power behind faith. The power behind faith is Christ. As we read in 1 John, as all Scripture testifies, God gave us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Faith is how we have the Son. The Holy Spirit through faith is how we have the Son. It's not faith that saves. It's Christ who saves through faith. And we must not forget that. Do not make an idol of faith. Otherwise, what do we see so many people do? But they focus inward. Do I have faith? Am I believing? Now, there's a place for right self-examination. We cover that, but there's also a wrong self-focused examination. Don't turn faith into an idol. Children, think of if you're thirsty. You're very thirsty. Turn on the water faucet. You get the water from the faucet, right? It's through the faucet you get the water. You don't go to the faucet and try to eat the faucet or drink the faucet. You drink the water. Now, it's through the faucet you get water. You don't go to the cupboard and get water. You don't go to the stove and get water. You don't go to the light switch and get water. It's the faucet and only the faucet. The faucet doesn't quench your thirst. the water. So it is with faith. Through faith alone, you get Christ. It's Christ. So we read in 1 John, God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has the Son has life. God does not substitute faith for obedience to His law. He substitutes Christ's righteousness for our own unrighteousness, and we lay hold of Christ's righteousness only through faith. He's our substitute. Our substitute is not faith. The Bible does not substitute our faith for our obedience. Arminians, that is, those who exalt man, man's ability. Some Arminians say, the original Arminians say, that God accepts our faith in place of our obedience. That's not true doctrine. That's doing what Arminians always do, looking to man, your faith, rather than rest in the Almighty God. Congregation, don't value your faith over Christ. Do not look to your faith for salvation. Look away from yourself. Look outside of yourself. Look to Christ. It is His satisfaction, His sacrifice that paid for sin. It's His righteousness, His holiness that make believers right with God. That's why it's so important, as we'll come to, Lord willing, to have the gospel of Jesus proclaimed in our worship services. So we immerse ourselves in hearing this gospel, the gospel promise of God, so we're continually brought back to Christ and what He did, not what we do. Not even that we believe. The church that substitutes morals or philosophy or politics or entertaining or anything else for Christ, that's unfaithful. And Christ alone is our righteousness, not in us, not at all, not even our faith. But it's only through faith that we lay hold of Christ. So congregation, hear the gospel of Jesus. Hear of His righteousness, satisfaction, holiness. Entrust yourself to Him, not yourself. Turn from yourself, from your sin, unto Christ. Christ, you are right with God. No matter what your conscience rightly declares about your sin, no matter what your sinful nature still inclines you to do, and no matter what trial you're going through, whatever it is with your health or your family or your finances or your work or the future or the present or whatever, you are right with God in Christ only by true faith in Jesus, sola fide. And encourage one another with that. Speak that good news to each other. Parents, raise your children in that environment. Saturate them in that. Every day of your life, continue to cling to Jesus in faith. Strive to love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the fruit of faith. Take your eyes off of Jesus, and there won't be the fruit. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Walk in the power of Christ's Spirit. Plead His grace and His transforming power, and His Spirit does produce fruit. The power of His Spirit, live. Trust and obey. God established faith is the only way through which we receive Christ's righteousness. By God's grace, hold fast to Him. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are great sinners, wretched. Lord, we look away from ourselves to Jesus. And we know it's not our works, it's not any aspect of our works at all. And it's not even power of the faith that You give us, but it's Christ received through faith. And yet, Lord, we are challenged. Our faith is weak. So focus us on Christ, who is strong. And in our trials and our challenges to faith, oh Lord, hold us close to Yourself. And use us to point others. There are so many, Lord, You know them. There are so many in despair, so many who are looking to themselves, to others, anywhere but Christ, are trying so many things. Lord, give us the opportunity to tell them, to point them to Jesus, and open their heart. Give them the gift of faith that they would believe in Jesus, that they then, through faith in Christ, because of Christ, be right with you, be brought out of darkness. May we encourage one another in our challenges to focus on Christ, to be encouraged of your love for us, to never doubt that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.